Radio Prague News. The Civic Democratic Party leadership agrees to back the Prime Minister's centre-right coalition government. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek says he will resign as party leader if his second attempt at forming a government fails. And the Social Democratic Party rules out support for the proposed centre-right government. Following a stormy debate on Thursday, the Civic Democratic Party leadership agreed to back the Prime Minister's centre-right coalition government, asking deputies to support it in the upcoming confidence vote. The decision was approved unanimously despite the fact that many senior party members do not approve of the division of ministerial posts. President Klaus has also expressed reservations regarding the cabinet lineup and has criticized the Prime Minister for failing to secure majority support for it in the lower house. It is not yet clear when he will appoint the new government. Under fire from many of his party colleagues, Prime Minister Topolánek said on Thursday he would resign as party leader if his second attempt at forming a government failed. Mr. Topolánek's first attempt at forming a cabinet failed in October, but President Klaus entrusted him with the task once again a few days later. His chances of securing majority support in the upcoming confidence vote are slim due to an even division of power between right and left parties in the lower house. Meanwhile, the Social Democratic Party has ruled out support for the proposed centre-right government. Following a meeting of the party's executive leadership, party boss Jiří Paroubek said his Social Democrats would not enter into talks on supporting or even tolerating the centre-right coalition government, since both its lineup and policy programme were incompatible with his party's priorities. Party leader Jiří Paroubek on Thursday met with President Klaus and proposed his own solution to the crisis. He said that if the Prime Minister's second attempt at forming a government failed, his party would be open to negotiations on a coalition between the two strongest parties and the Christian Democrats. He said that in this manner the country could avoid a constitutional crisis. The provisional Social Democrat chairman of the lower house, Miloslav Vlček, has said that he would, with all probability, resign from his post on January the 30th. Before his election to the post of chairman, Mr. Vlček pledged to give up the job if two attempts to form a government failed. That was because it is the chairman of the lower house who will have the task of selecting a prime minister designate for the third attempt. And as a Social Democrat, Mr. Vlček's choice would be open to allegations of party bias. The parliamentary parties will need to reach some kind of consensus on who should succeed Mr. Vlček and select the next prime minister. And finally, a total of 157 drivers have lost their driver's licenses after receiving 12 penal points for traffic offences since a strict new road law went into effect in July of last year. Traffic police say penal points are most frequently given for speeding and drinking and driving. Both independent experts and traffic police agree that the new road law has significantly influenced drivers' behaviour, and statistics show a steady decline in the number of road deaths. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. Coming up today, the number of road deaths has decreased, but not far enough, critics say. The Charter 77 Human Rights Manifesto is 30 years old. We look at the stories of some of its women signatories. And in the arts today, a new album by the Czech band Ecstasy of St. Teresa. We'll have all that plus the latest business news for you, so please stay tuned. The number of traffic deaths on Czech roads in 2006 dipped below 1,000 for the first time in 16 years, according to preliminary statistics released by the Czech Ministry of Transport. Police and politicians say this decline is due to the introduction last year of a so-called points system, penalizing drivers who break the law by putting points on their record. Ilya Maritz has more.
About 225,000 Czechs got points put on their driver's licenses in the second half of 2006 for infractions such as driving under the influence of alcohol and speeding. The result, experts say, is a significant drop in the number of traffic fatalities, 951, or 177 fewer than in the preceding year. When the law took effect last July 1st, drivers were put on notice that they are being observed by police and may be penalized for violations, says Josef Mikulík, director of the Transport Research Center.
I think the mere existence of the point system has a strong effect on drivers. For example, before this new law, about 40 to 45% of drivers, and even fewer passengers, wore seatbelts. Now, 75% of drivers and passengers wear these seatbelts.
Preliminary numbers show points were most commonly given for minor speeding violations, ignoring stop signs and failing to switch on headlights. Since its passage, the point system has become a political flashpoint, with some lawmakers and drivers' groups arguing that it is too punitive, while others have suggested that the law should be strengthened. Josef Mikulík hopes that no amendments will be made for at least a year, so that his group has enough time to analyze the strengths and weaknesses of the system. In the area of enforcement, however, Mikulík says Czech police are at a disadvantage.
Police here are missing one basic tool, which they have in other democratic countries. Devices to measure a driver's speed automatically. The software is there, but unfortunately there's a statute which says that people cannot be made to testify against their relatives. So any driver can say, yes, my car went too fast, but I wasn't the one driving. My relative was, and I'm not going to tell you which one it was.
There has also been the matter of some police not setting a good example. Police President Vladislav Husák has already been caught speeding twice. A poor role model, says Josef Mikulík.
If the police president, the highest law enforcement officer in the land, doesn't himself follow the law he supported, well, it's really a mockery of the law, and in other countries I think he would have to stand down. I can't think of a worse example for our citizens than what the police president did.
With under 1,000 deaths on its roads in 2006, the Czech Republic has markedly reduced its accident rate. Still, there's a great deal of room for improvement. Sweden, for example, with just a million people fewer than the Czech Republic, reported only 49 fatalities last year.
Now, 30 years ago this month, a group of people decided to voice their opposition to the communist regime of Czechoslovakia with a human rights manifesto known as Charter 77. Its signatories made the decision fully aware of the consequences. Personalities like Václav Havel, who later became president, Petr Uhl, who became human rights commissioner, and Jiří Dienstbier, who served as foreign minister, all served prison sentences under communist Czechoslovakia. But the stories of the numerous women who were among this courageous group of people have yet to be told. On Sunday, Czech television will broadcast the first of a series of documentaries made to honor 10 of them. Dita Asiedu reports.
Many of us can only guess what it must have been like to live as a Charter 77 dissident in communist Czechoslovakia. Nighttime raids, police detentions, bugged phones, and constant surveillance by the communist secret police were a norm. But a new series of documentaries on the life stories of 10 amazing women who signed the charter brings an entirely new perspective to the story behind the Charter 77 movement. We find out where they lived, how much was at stake, how secret meetings were held, what they feared the most, and what they lost. Some a child, others a husband. Charter 77 signatory Věra Roubalová says the decision to sign the document was one she made without regret.
No, já si myslím, že ono to svým způsobem opravdu byla úleva se rozhodnout. Jo.
It was, in a sense, a relief to have made that decision, to say out loud that I did not like what was happening here. People were afraid to even say this in front of their children, fearing that they would let it slip at school. They were scared of their neighbours and always had to be on their guard and bite their tongue. They weren't sure whether their children would be admitted to secondary school if they failed to do exactly what the regime said. The regime was very successful at spreading this fear. So when I made the decision to oppose that control and face whatever consequences might follow, it felt easy to say what was really on my mind.
The documentaries include the testimonies of children and husbands. Under an organized campaign against Charter 77 signatories, husbands were imprisoned and wives were detained for hours, often sexually harassed and beaten. Threatened with the death of their children, they faced immense psychological pressure. When one woman was in police custody, the others looked after her family.
Those who did not sign the charter should not all be put in one group, because many of them were active supporters of our cause. They hand-copied and distributed books and supported families who were being persecuted. These were people who did not sign the charter for various reasons, but were still there with us, and that was extremely important for us. This needs to be said, as few people know about it, and because the people who helped us are too modest to say so.
Seven Czech female directors worked on the documentary series. Maria Šandová, for instance, profiled the life of Anna Šabatová, wife of the former dissident Petr Uhl.
The meeting with Anna Šabatová was entirely emotional for me, because I realized that 30 years ago it was possible to live in freedom, and it was just a question of decision, that the freedom is the most important value in the human life. I'm a little bit younger than she is, but in comparison with her fate, I feel that I was a part of a gray zone, that I was not involved or I didn't have enough courage in a socialistic time. So there's not only admiration, but also a kind of fate, I think.
Another female director, young filmmaker Olga Špátová, documents the story of Jana Hlavsová, the wife of Milan Hlavsa, singer of the 1970s underground rock band The Plastic People of the Universe.
It was wonderful for me because I'm only 22 now, and for me it was very educated to make this film because of this time, because of a political situation, because of freedom, and I think that everyone in my age admire them, and they are some treasure for us. They are something in this society absolutely special, and I think when something will happen in our society, my generation will go and will make some kind of the activities of the women in 77.
Filmmaker Olga Špátová ending that report by Dita Asiedu. If you've just joined us, just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague with me, Pavla Horáková. Now it's time for our regular business news with Daniela Lazarová and Colleen O'Connor.
At least 10 high-ranking government officials have been accused by the police of unjustly lining their pockets while serving on the supervisory board of Czech energy giant ČEZ, in which the state holds a major stake. They've been charged with illegally taking cheap share options in the company and accepting gifts in the form of capital life insurance. Those accused include the former Deputy Minister of Finance, Tomáš Potněšil, and Civic Democrat MP Oldřich Vojíř. If found guilty, they could face between 2 and 8 years in prison. All the people involved deny the charges.
And as we reported earlier in the week, the Czech budget deficit for 2006 was higher than expected, despite robust economic growth. Public spending was 94 billion Czech crowns, or $4.5 billion, over budget, around 13 billion more Czech crowns than forecast. The finance ministry blames the deficit on lower tax and social insurance revenues, but many independent analysts say it is down to high social welfare spending and bad use of public funds. The deficit will mean higher interest rates for Czechs and will also hinder the country's chances of adopting the euro in the near future. In order to adopt the euro, governments must meet strict EU targets for public debt, deficits and inflation.
Meanwhile, the governor of the Czech Central Bank, Zdeněk Tuma, has criticised the EU's euro adoption criteria, saying that they are obsolete and need to be changed. Writing in London's Financial Times, Mr. Tuma said that the old benchmarks for inflation and public deficits were appropriate when the European Union was smaller, but were now outdated and counterproductive in the enlarged European Union.
The Czech Republic's booming labour market has contributed to a massive rise in the number of Czech recruitment agencies, Hospodářský Noviny reports. The Czech Daily says that the number of agencies almost doubled last year, from 800 to 1,500. The paper also says that agencies are making up for labour shortages on the Czech market by recruiting an increasing number of foreign workers.
And finally, the Taiwanese electronics firm BenQ is to build a new plant to make LCD screens and monitors in the Czech Republic. The plant will be located on a 50,000 square meter site at the Černovická Terasa Industrial Park in Brno, and it will employ 700 workers. BenQ wants to make the screens and monitors for markets in Central and Eastern Europe and says it may subsequently expand the plant to cater for the entire continent. The plant should make around 500,000 LCD monitors a year, and production is scheduled to start in the autumn.
The latest Czech business news there. Now on Radio Prague, it's time for the arts, this week with Ian Willoughby.
Let's take it easy. My heart goes tick, tick, tick like a bone. Tick, tick, tick all night long. Tick, tick.
This is Wrong Place, Wrong Time from Watching Black, the recently released new CD by the Czech band Ecstasy of St. Teresa. The group was founded in the early 1990s by Jan P. Muchov, who now also composes for films, as well as producing other artists and providing the music for advertisements. Ecstasy of St. Teresa went through numerous lineup changes before settling to its current form of Muchov and Kateřina Vintarová, a successful actress at Prague's National Theatre. I spoke to Jan P. Muchov recently at his small studio just off Wenceslas Square.
And I saw there little smile on the lips.
How does the new album differ from the previous album, Slow Thinking?
From our point of view, it's a different in a way, like we think we communicate more. The previous one, the Slow Thinking album, was like kind of like introvert and fragile sounding, and this time we wanted to communicate more on the outside and or like about the outside, and in the sound wise we wanted to go a bit more organic sounding, or like, you know, and a bit more dirty, because the previous album we thought maybe was too clinical, you know, like too clean. So now we wanted to feel more of the human touch.
It's about 4 years since your previous album came out. Why did it take that long?
It's like two parts why it took so long. And the first part is because I think when the record comes out, it's not the end of the life of the record. So we spent like almost a year like touring, promoting the record. We made three EPs of the record. We made a DVD version of the record. And then it came out as well in the UK. So we spent as well some time on promoting it there. So that it took almost, and then we played some on some of the festivals and stuff. So it took almost 2 years to support the Slow Thinking, the previous album. And then we started to look in front and to work on the newer and on the newer record, and then as well came about the pregnancy of the singer.
Will the new album Watching Black be released outside the Czech Republic? Will you have distribution?
We hope so. It's not a signed stuff now, some kind of a deal or something. But what we get reactions of the songs from, for example, on MySpace, and it seems to be a logical step for the record to try to have some distribution outside as well.
Does the internet in general help bands like yourselves from smaller countries like the Czech Republic?
I guess in a way, of course, that some people have the chance to hear you. It's hard to say if it can help in a way of a distribution or to have a shows and stuff. Maybe, you know, you would need quite a huge response that some promoters or some labels will think, okay, we should do this event here as well. So, but at least we know there are people on the planet that that want to be friends with us on MySpace, or like they write back that they enjoy the music.
Your new single is Watching Black White Looking, but it's not the most poppy song on the new album. Why did you choose that particular track as a single?
I thought it makes it clear what the record is about. If we would choose, for example, the song Where is the Duet with Self Brush, it's maybe more poppy and people will maybe enjoy more. But I would think as a pilot single, it would not tell the truth about the album, you know. So I wanted to make a clear, to show people the clear sign what the record is basically about, you know.
Ecstasy of Saint Teresa have been playing selected dates around the country, promoting Watching Black, and they'll be appearing at Prague's Palác Akropolis on January 29th. How important is playing live to Jan Muchov?
To be honest, in my teens and when I was in 20s, I didn't enjoy the gig so much because I knew like the sound won't be perfect, and we play kind of stuff which you would enjoy it much better or hear everything you're supposed to hear to understand it in full. We were not able to do it in the clubs in Czech Republic and the sound and blah 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 blah. But now in all those years, I kind of changed my mind, and as well we started to make like a live set for the gigs a bit different than on the record, because we said, okay, people can hear the versions of the songs of the album as we would wish them to hear it. But on the gig, they will hear the live versions.
Getting back to the recording process, how much do you and Katarzyna Wintorowa, the singer, how much do you collaborate? And how much are you the boss, so to speak, or the dictator, perhaps?
It's basically dialogue. If somebody says, no, I don't like this, we just stop it. So there's no check, maybe I won't like him and she will, or the opposite way. So I will come up with some idea and play it to her, and when she says, okay, I like it, then we start to work on it. I want to hear her opinion, because she's not like an instrumentalist, and she's not a musician in a meaning that she doesn't play an instrument. So how she thinks about the music is like feelings, you know, and we're not talking in terms like harmony or chords. We talk about like, I like this and I don't like this, you know, and this makes me, I don't know, goosebumps, and this is leaving me cold or something, and that's and it's clearly what she likes or not. So I would think it's a dialogue thing, and it's as we both see it or hear it.
Smile on lips. Did I see that? Did I see?
the Arts with Ian Willoughby has brought us to the end of the programme today. All the stories you've heard today can be found on our website www.radio.cz/English, both in sound and text. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard today, the address is english@radio.cz, that's english@radio.cz, or Radio Prague 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Join us again for our weekend programs if you can, but for now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's goodbye and have a very good weekend. Now we leave you with a song called Gun and the Stars from the new album by Ecstasy of St. Teresa, Watching Black.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.